Where I come from, we call that a low-down Yankee carpetbagger trick.
My name's Lindsay, and I think that the creepy coop and gruesome twosome are gonna win.
And this is Daryl. I think Pat Pending and the converter car are gonna take home the gold.
And this is Mike D, and I predict a win by Rufus Roughcut, the sawtooth beaver man.
If you haven't guessed, we've watched Wacky Races.
That's right. Episode 5 of Wacky Metrics, our statistical analysis and recap of the popular television show Wacky Races. This week's episode, episode 5, Mishmash Missouri Dash. Original air date, September 28th, 1968.
Though where were no you? One cares.
That's what they do on these recap podcasts. They have to say, episode 5, blah, blah, episode title.
We do.
We do?
We do.
So this episode took place in the Ozarks, which was depicted as a series of beautiful roads without any sort of guardrails or anything. It looked like the Italian Alps. And they're going from Merkenmeyer to Mishmash, Missouri.
Mishmash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
they
the destination.
They were taken aback.
I guess that's where that's where they ended. What we started out with everybody being unable to make a turn.
We started out at the start line where everybody couldn't go because Dick Dastardly had chained all the cars together to a pole and then wasted this opportunity by putting his car into the wrong gear and backing up into
usually
that hole.
He doesn't do that.
Oh, he out.
That happens at the beginning of every episode.
That is the beginning of the race every time. He does that every time.
You think they should check out for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you think at this point he just realized, wait, I actually have a better chance when I don't try to mess everybody up at the beginning.
Yeah, well, usually he's way ahead of everybody and then tries to sabotage them and comes in last. This time he wasn't actually ahead because he had decided to take a different route from everybody else.
Yeah, he was behind most of the time.
Yeah, so there were plenty of... So there's a sequence where both him and the army guys were doing Abbott and Costello gags. The left road is the right road, but the right road is the wrong road. So we should take the right road. Wrong, right, wrong.
Wait, who's on first, though?
Yeah, very Abbott and Costello-y. The army surplus guys, because they're doing this Abbott Costello thing, the private doesn't know which way to drive, and he drives the wrong way last minute. He detaches the top of the tank. He detaches
the turret part.
Yeah, the turret part. He detaches and starts soaring down the wrong road. Well, the right road.
The turret becomes a flying tea kettle.
Yeah, and then he stops himself by putting his feet down and
Fred
dragging.
Fred Flintstone style.
Yeah, Fred Flintstone style, drag his feet. And then running back to catch up with the rest of the tank, which means this tank is probably made with foam.
Papier mâché, maybe.
Yeah, this is not, like, unless this man is incredibly strong.
Well, he is. He's really big.
It's light armor. Light armored infantry.
They're like dogs. There's a stereotypical skinny guy and a stereotypical big, strong, fat guy. And that's that's the sergeant. So he can carry the turret of a tank, no problem.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
It's made of cast iron. It's as big as he is. That's fine.
I will say there was a very progressive moment in this episode.
Was that the reference to carpetbaggers?
No. Where the Slag brothers, they're driving along and Penelope Pitstop, is that her name?
Yeah, Penelope Pitstop.
She drives past them and then one of the Slag brothers, he holds up his
cudgel
to bash her and other Slag brother stops him. He like grabs his cudgel and he does like the finger shaming.
Shame
movement.
Nah, bro.
And then bashes his Slag brother over the head, letting Penelope pass. So that was a very progressive, don't hit women.
It was.
I don't know if that's progressive. I mean, chivalry always dictated that you didn't hit women, even in the most patriarchal of times.
Mm. Well, I mean, these are very...
Unless the woman was actually your wife.
I was going to say, this is 1968, so there was plenty of women hitting going on.
Yes.
Okay. So the main plot in this episode involves some hillbillies.
Yeah.
There's a Cousin Elmer. Dick Dastardly encounters Cousin Elmer, who has set a successful booby trap. Dick is very impressed by this.
Yes.
A giant...
He's never actually seen one work, so...
A giant piece of granite lands on his car and crushes it, and he is has bones broken in all kinds of places. And he says, wow, what a keen booby trap. Wish I had thought of it. And then the hillbilly emerges and, says, you ain't from around these parts now, are ya? You ain't no kinfolk to mine.
Sticking a musket in his face, because that's the most modern weapon to have.
Those are the ways.
Yeah, in the Ozarks.
Yep.
And then Dick manages to bamboozle him by taking off the guy's hat and beard and putting them on his own face and saying that, I'm one of you.
And you get to see...
So that worked, at least.
The nice hair part.
The
first time Dick Dastardly takes his hat off, you can see his hair. It's parted down the middle.
It's very beautiful.
It's
very
beautiful.
Edwardian style.
Yeah.
It's perfectly slicked back. But he decides to cover it in this hillbilly's hat and beard.
Yes, that just comes off in one solid chunk.
Yeah.
Even the hat and the beard are attached together. That he just puts them on.
And what's great is the hillbilly is left with just little hairs like sticking up like all over his like face and stuff. And once his hat and beard's ripped off, Dick Dastardly is like, no, see, I am your kin, folk. See the relation? See how we look alike? And he's like, and by the way, there's someone else coming up the road. They're back behind me, which sends the hillbilly off.
Yeah, he hillbilly spasms of rage.
The hillbilly doesn't even notice or acknowledge that his beard was just ripped off and that his hat was stolen.
That's right. The animated actor playing this hillbilly was not convincing at all in his outrage at this.
No.
Not even a little bit.
Obviously, the beard was just attached with not even glue, but...
Yeah, it's just sitting there.
Kind of magnet attached to the magnetic plate in his face.
Yeah, he gets instantly angry at the new trespassers who are on his lawn, not the beard that was just ripped from his face.
But the new trespassers turn out to be Luke and Blubber Bear, our familiar hillbillies who are in one of the cars in the wacky races every week.
Yeah, in the still car.
And it turns out that they are kinfolk.
They are, in fact. He sees him coming up and refers to him by name, his cousin.
Yeah. Well, I swan. Cousin Elmer.
Yeah, cousin. Yeah, they talk about his cousin Elmer, and they talk about their other cousin, Fudd.
Yeah. Yes. not to be confused with the ripoff of Duff.
Yeah, cousin Elmer mistakes the bear as cousin Fudd.
Yeah. No, I hope we encounter this cousin Fudd later in the episodes. I'm eager to see how bear-like, how ursine he is.
So yeah, after that, we are pretty much near the finish line, right? Is there anything else that goes on?
Another pit stop with her mud.
Oh, yes,
Penelope.
Penelope's facial.
Yeah.
In early episodes, she has these buttons for hair dryer and makeup, and now she has buttons for beauty mud bath. Mud face application.
Yeah, and bubble bath.
That's right.
Yeah. She takes a bubble bath while she's driving.
Yes,
suspiciously looking like a shower. Yeah. It just kind of appears around.
It's a very tall bubble bath.
A cylindrical shower curtain emerges around her. One assumes she gets nude, and then the bubbles start to pop out from it as she drives along.
That's just a feature. You know, you see someone shaving when they drive, it could be so much worse.
But the best part about this...
The wackiest part, you mean?
The best part. It's not wacky. The best part is
that... Dead serious.
This is very serious. There is a cat in this episode
that cat
of Wacky Races.
Is extremely serious.
And the cat stops right on the finish line and it's just sitting there because it's a cat. It doesn't know any better.
No. It ain't listening to no man.
No. It's just a burnt orange kitty. just sitting there on the finish line and it totally messes up Peter Perfect's finish because he was just about to finish first.
Yeah. His throbbing head was just about to cross the finish line when this.
He was just about to penetrate.
But then he pulled out because he doesn't penetrate.
Yeah.
No pussies.
Yeah.
Well, he had to.
Yeah. He stopped at the pussy, which is telling.
Accordioned his car.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
He turning into bear a flaccid.
Yeah.
Yes. His car went entirely flaccid as he slammed on the brakes. And allowed Professor Pat Pending to win the race.
Yeah, Daryl.
Yes,
won it.
The first correct prediction.
I was really getting kind of nervous because you don't see Pat Pending, but more like maybe 2 minutes before this, and
He just turned into a turtle once, and that was it.
Yeah,
in like what might be the stupidest thing I've ever seen him transform into. Yeah. It was not necessary at all.
I mean, the stupidest thing was. The stupidest, I think, was when he, so far, is when he transformed into a drill because burrowing through the ground is faster than going through the air.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that even though Creepy Coop came in, I think, third.
Yeah, they were third. They
finished okay. I'm okay with how they finished. One of the wackier parts that I enjoyed was Genesis Dragon Breath coming out.
Apparently that's the name of the dragon in the
Genesis Dragon Breath.
Yeah, there's...
Sounds like something from DeviantArt.
He did a really cool save because there was a really sharp turn that no one saw, I guess.
This is the Ozark, very beginning. So the roads are not well mapped
marked. So the Creepy Coop, along with many other cars, they fly off the edge of this turn. And so the dragon comes out. Flaps his wings until they're back on the track, which was pretty great.
Now that is actually at that like same sharp turn. That's one of my favorite parts.
Oh yeah,
the wackiest part for me.
Oh.
It's the Red Baron finally gets a shout out. He hasn't really been featured much in any of the other ones, but
Sounds like having a parody of the Red Baron wasn't relevant to late 60s audiences.
No, it really, they're like, yeah, let's kind of just fade this guy back as much as possible. This seems like the only time he should have been really useful. I mean, like, you think a plane is pretty decent at cornering, but it's not. It just goes off the side like everyone else.
And then when it's floating in the air, he bails out. He makes no attempt to fly. The plane has wings.
It has wings. It has a propeller.
Wings at all times. And he doesn't even need his like jet out emergency wings. It always has wings.
He bails out and he tries to pull his ripcord on his newfound parachute, and it doesn't. So he dies. That's the end of the Red Baron. He is dead.
He's died. We probably won't see him again.
Yep. I don't even think that was him when he crossed the finish line. That was his much older brother.
Yeah.
The Red Max can never die. Only the actor who portrays him. So my wackiest moment was when Muttley talked. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah. Muttley talked. He rhymed.
He never uttered decipherable words before. But when Dick told him to repair the car, he started muttering in his muttery way. And he was going, I think he was saying, like, the something bolts connected to the something bolt.
He was singing that.
Bones song. Automobile lyrics.
Don't just sit there, Muttley. Start putting the car back together.
I imagine there's a lot of controversy over the actor portraying Muttley, you know, insisting that he needed to branch out and be able to utter decipherable words. So they let him do that this time. So maybe later on he's going to start talking and Dick Dashley will be resulting to indecipherable grunting.
Who knows?
I hope so.
Yeah, and the statistics real quick. There aren't very many this episode. Penelope Petstop said Lil Ol twice. Muttley laughed three times. He did the Mrass and Frass and thing once. And Dick Dashley only said Drat once.
So. But Penelope Petstop did use a great line.
Oh, yes.
You low-down Yankee carpet-bagging trick.
Yes, that was really good.
Yeah, she doesn't like Dick Dashley one bit. his urban city ways are not her sort of thing.
His carpet-bagging mannerisms.
Yeah.
Make him no friend to any one of the Ozarks or wherever Melby Pitstop is from.
I imagine she's of Virginia plant or stock.
I imagine so.
Well, catch you next week on episode 6 of Wacky Metrics.
Probably not next week.
Next thing.
This is bi-weekly.
Next unit
catch
of time.
You eventually.
Oh, and
catch
now we have
some
to do
in the future.
Way do we go? Let me have a look at that map. We're supposed to take the left road, but if we cheat and take the right road, we'll get there sooner. So we won't take the left road, which is the right road. We'll take the right road, which is the wrong road. Right?